You ever wondered why that the devil and the angels who followed him were not offered forgiveness? I don't know if I ever really thought about it much. I just figured that, it's just the way God said it. He set it up, and I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. But the more that I understand the attributes of God, a loving God, a forgiving God, a God of judgment, I wondered why that He forgave us, because He created them too, as well as Him creating us. Why didn't He offer them forgiveness? And so you start going down this list in your mind of what the devil did, maybe that didn't offer him forgiveness, you know? Some people would say, I looked out online a little bit, and I asked a few people, and I think, and even in the past, I've heard this statement, that some people say because they had no real faith, meaning that they didn't believe in the power of God, that the angels didn't have any real faith. Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I thought, that's not one that ever got me, because I thought, now wait a minute, when Jesus showed up on this earth in the flesh, when He was born of Mary, and He came upon a demon-possessed man, the Bible says that those demons fell down and worshipped Him. And they said, are you here to torment us before the appointed time? They knew that Jesus had authority in their life. Even though they hated Him, even though they knew that they were reserved for judgment, and even though they knew that time was coming, they still fell down and worshipped Him. The Bible says that. And he asked him, why are you here? Are you going to torment us before the appointed time? Look, that's faith. They knew in the power of God. If you go to Job 38, 4 through 7, where he was talking to Job, man, greatest thing, when Job had cried out to God, and in the beginning God said that, have you seen my servant Job? But then when God answered Job, He said, you ask, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but He says, you ask, now prepare yourself like a man, for I am going to answer. He says, who are you that you should question me? What an amazing thing. God was so proud of Job, but then when He had a chance to answer Job, and if you look at the way that Job always stood by God and the way that God answered him, you see the authority that God had. God wasn't going to give up that authority for the sake of friendship. He wanted to first establish who He was. And so this is part of how He answers Job. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He said, tell me if you have understanding. He said, who determined the measurements of the earth? He said, surely you know. He said, who stretched out the line upon it? To what was its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? He said, that when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know, the angels sang when the foundations of the world were laid. They knew the power of God. They watched Him create. Did you see your own creation? The angels were created, but the angels were there, okay? We didn't see our creations. We're just here. But the angels watched the foundations of the earth and the creation. They saw the power of God. So the question was, were they not offered forgiveness because they had no faith? No. The evidence shows us that they certainly had faith. And there's other scriptures, but I mean, I can't, put 10 or 12 scriptures to go over. It shows the same thing. If you need more, I'll tell you. I'll find them for you. But it wasn't because these people, these angels, these beings didn't have faith. That's not why they weren't offered forgiveness. If you go to 1 Timothy 3:16, and it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. You see, the God in whom these angels saw create this world, they witnessed Him come in the flesh to complete a task that they were not aware of in the beginning. So not only did they see the power of God, they understood they didn't even understand the great mystery of God. They saw His magnificence. They saw His intelligence. They didn't know that this was going to happen. They saw the creation of the world. And then when His Son came in the Spirit and was received up in glory, the angels were like, wow. And they saw all of this. No, it wasn't because these angels didn't have faith that they were not offered forgiveness. So it's fair to say that it's pointless for anyone to say that the fallen angels did not have real faith after all that they'd seen God do. I mean, you would have thought that after they'd seen the Son that some of these angels would have repented. That they would have said, I never knew this was going to happen. I'm so sorry. See, that's where the anger and the hatred comes from. The devil convinced these angels that this creation had to fall and that he was going to be the one that was going to be worshipped. And these angels believed that. And when that didn't happen, they had great hatred not only for Satan but for us and for God Himself. Because they were so mad that they had been duped. They hated Satan probably as much as they hated God. But he had more power than them. Bible says it was granted to him certain things, and he was given dominion over those angels. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been their leader. If he hadn't been given dominion, you think that Satan just decided he was going to be their leader? This is where some of the hatred and the anger comes in, is because had they not done that, they would have seen this plan unfold, and they would have seen the glory that God had, and they would have seen the sun rise up, and they would have said, wow, look at all of this. I was wrong. I want to be a part of this. But they weren't offered that chance. So it didn't have anything to do with faith. Jude 1:6 says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So were the angels denied salvation because they disobeyed God? That sounds a little more like it, but the honest truth is that I've probably disobeyed every authority in my life. I don't know how you lived yours, but I know that we as children were disobedient at times. But being an adult, I've probably stood against almost every authority in my life at one time or another. So it couldn't have been from disobedience, could it? See, John 8:44 says, you are your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Was it because he lied? I mean, nobody likes a liar. You just can't do nothing with them. You can't trust them. You can't build on them. You can't you can't have any fun with them because you always got to be on guard. Nobody likes a liar. So it wasn't about the faith. It wasn't about his disobedience. He certainly was a liar. He was the one where the father of lies. He was the beginner of lies. He was the chief among liars. So was it because he lied? Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. We not only lie to ourselves, we not only lie to each other, but we have also lied to God. I don't think it was because the devil lied. Even though Jesus in this John passage makes a big deal about this, it's not because he lied. Because we lied and we are offered forgiveness. I want to point something out about this verse too. Not verse 2, but this verse also, is that in the beginning of this passage, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, right? And at the end of the passage, he says, "You've not lied to men, but to God." This makes the Holy Spirit equal to God. And a lot of people don't believe that. We have a whole movement. The Jehovah Witnesses don't even believe that the Holy Spirit is an actual person. Believes he's just the active force of God. But this shows us that Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. And the later asks, "Why did you lie to God?" It makes the Holy Spirit equal with God, and makes the whole God equal to the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't because Satan lied that he wasn't offered forgiveness. Because certainly here, not only did Ananias lie to Peter, but he lied to the Holy Spirit and he lied to God. That's pretty rough right there. So it wasn't because of the lie. I don't think that works. John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have not come that they may have life. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Then it certainly had to be because he killed Jesus. And God knew this was going to happen, so he didn't offer them forgiveness. He knew that he was going to kill their son. He knew that the demons, the Satan, was going to kill his son. And so that's why. Right? I mean, that would make pretty good sense. We found out it wasn't a lie. We found out it wasn't faith. I mean, he actually killed the Son of God. That would be worthy of someone not having repentance, right? Until we see Acts 2:36, that Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this God, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Who killed Christ? We did. So here we see all these things that the devil's done, and he's not been offered forgiveness, and guess what? We've done them too. You start scratching your head and you start thinking, is there an answer to this question? Why was the devil not offered forgiveness? You see, the devil used many people to kill Jesus. The Romans actually had him crucified. But the only reason that the Romans had to be involved is because the Jews couldn't put anybody to death that way. So the Jews had to lay a trap for Jesus to bring Rome into the picture because of who Jesus claiming to be a king. And they cried out, "We only have one king, and that is Caesar." And so the Romans had to get involved to silence this issue, and to, because you can't let people, when you're an occupied power and you're trying and you're holding onto a land, you can't let the other kings rise up. You've got to put them to death. Caesar was the man. He wasn't going to have anybody else call himself king. Caesar was the king. And so they used the Jews, they used the Gentiles, they used the government to kill Jesus. And see, we've all had a part in that. And you say, "Well, that was them." But see, Peter didn't talk to the Gentiles. Peter didn't talk to the Romans. And he didn't talk to the governments. He talked to the nation of Israel. He says, I want you to know assuredly, you have killed this Jesus. So everything that the devil has done, so have we. But there is an answer. John 5:22-23 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. And you're looking at that and you're thinking, well, that doesn't answer the question. But it does answer the question. You see, we always hear about how much a father loves the Son, right? That's all we talk about, is how much that God loved His Son. For God so loved the world, He only gave His begotten Son. When Jesus was there, He said, on earth, He said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased." But we never talk about how much the Son loves the Father. And see, that's what He's saying here. He says, your honor for Me goes to the Father. He says, you can't honor My Father unless you first honor Me. But it's not the honor to Me that I'm so much concerned about. He says, I want you to see the Father. That's why He come in John. And John bring this, that's why He come. John said He came to show us the Father. And so we always talk about how much the Father loves the Son, but we forget that how much the Son loves the Father. And you know, this is a little backwards, it seems. You know, don't most fathers stand in first for their son? Wouldn't most fathers stand up and say, no, you leave my family alone, you take Me? I mean, isn't that what we see in a father, that he's the ultimate sacrifice? But Jesus loved His Father so much that He said, you're not going to do this. I'm going to do this. Jesus saw the glory of His Father, and He loved Him so much for it, He says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Not you, because I love you that much. And so you ask yourself, what is there to love that much about somebody? What is there to love so much about the Father? And so you first got to process, is this guy really asking this question? This is one of those questions that you should know the answer to, but when you're faced with that question, what are your answers? You see, He saw, this is what Jesus saw. He saw a Father create. And He could have been any type of God to these creations that He wanted to be. But He was kind. You see, David said in Psalms, he says, my God, he says, you have stooped down so low to make Me great. Jesus saw a Father that if you did something wrong, He was quick to offer forgiveness. Jesus saw a Father that when you fell, He was there to pick you up and dust you off. Now remember, this was God. He could have done anything that He wanted. But He loved. He had so much mercy and so much kindness. And Jesus saw this and He says, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let you die, because I see how you are, and I'm going to show the world how you are. And I'm going to show them that I love you that much that I will die for you. This was the image that Jesus saw of His Father in glory. How wonderfully kind and how powerful He was, and that He was willing to set that power aside and to make something as fragile as a butterfly just for the enjoyment. He watched a Father that could have made it rain all the time, that it could have bared down in anger and hatred on this world because they had sinned against Him. But He saw the rain subside. He saw the sun come out. He saw the rain and the sun produce these beautiful flowers. And He saw, what a loving, kind Father you are. And I'm going to show the world. I'm going to show the world how much I love you. so that they can love you too? And the answer to why that the devil was not offered forgiveness, because the devil and all of his angels saw that glory and they turned away. That's why they weren't offered forgiveness. They looked at the face of God. They looked at that kindness. They looked at that mercy. They looked at that love and they said, they turned away from it. And Jesus loved the Father so much that He said, I will die for you. He said, but you see my Father and you turn away from Him? I will never forgive that. You saw the love that He had. You saw the willingness to forgive. You saw the kindness that was in His heart. And you looked Him in the face and you turned away from Him. And Jesus said, I will never forgive that. And that's why the devil and his angels were never offered forgiveness, because they gazed upon the glory of God and they turned away. We've never seen the glory of God. We've read about it through Scriptures, through the life that His Son came and showed us. You see, this salvation was a plan that was set up. And I have no proof at all, and I wouldn't even say that it happened. But what we know of such a loving and kind Father, He wouldn't have wanted His Son to do that. He would have took that shame. But when you see something like that, from what little that we know, from thinking as a man, as a human, as a woman, as a creation, that we would know, that you would see such willing sacrifice from your Father, that you would say, no, I'll do this. Let me share this burden. You've carried so many in your life. See, that would seem normal to us. And Jesus saw that image of His Father and said, I will be the one. I will create them. I will walk as one of them. And I will die as one of them. And by doing all of that, I will show them your heavenly glory. And the angels looked at it and said, I don't see much there. Pretty amazing thing. And so what we take away from this is, we really, for just a moment, get to look and see what it was about the Father that the Son loved so much. And we get to see a picture of pure kindness, pure love, pure selflessness, and pure willingness to sacrifice and suffer for you. And the devil, who lays out all these traps for all of us, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about creation. He doesn't even care about himself or those that follow him. All he wants to do is lie, murder, and steal. That's all he wants to do. And when you see that picture of the Father versus that picture of the devil, man, that should encourage you. That should encourage you to know what God can truly have in store for your life, how much power He truly has over this world. He gave the devil a shot. He said, you want to be God? You got a world in the flesh. You got a world in the flesh. Because in this flesh, we're held in the sway of the devil. Until this flesh has been redeemed. And the only way it can be redeemed is to die. To die. Jesus raises that flesh up from the ground and it says it's raised incorruptible. Our spirit is made right through immersion right now. And that's what gives us the power to struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And the devil had his shot. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? That's question that's asked in Scripture. What prevented you from obeying the truth? We have a mindset that we will serve God, but we live in a body that doesn't want to serve God. It wants to listen to the devil. It wants to play. It wants to sleep. It wants to have fun. It wants to play around. It wants to be lazy. It wants to be bad. It wants to be mean. It wants to be rebellious. And Jesus said, I'll lay it out before you. If they see the glory of my Father, they'll choose Him. You saw the glory and you turned away, but if they see it, they'll choose Him. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there may be less that see God and more that do not. He was always showing His glory. He showed His glory through creation. He showed His glory when he rescued the children from Israel. They were captured by the king of the world and they were beat. They were told what they could do, what they could not do, when they could sleep, when they could eat. And when they left Egypt, not only did they leave, but they plundered Egypt. They took their gold. They took their jewelry. They took their silver. And God said, you think this world has power? I'll show you power. And He rose them up. And when they fled out of Egypt, they took the glory of Egypt with them. But then you have to come to reality. God says, I've shown you this. Now what are you going to do with it? You know what Pharaoh did with it? He went after him to kill him. He hated them. And he hated their God. And see, for a minute, you can almost see Satan in the pointlessness of him hating God. He offered Pharaoh a chance to repent. Look how many times he came to him. But he refused to. But the devil saw the glory of God and turned away. And when you read Scripture, the glory of God is everywhere. The promise of His Son. In almost every passage, almost every word, the promise that I'm coming. You know how you're heading somewhere and you're late and you're like, I gotta let them know I'm coming. I don't want them to think I forgot about them. I don't want them to think that I'm not coming. I don't want to think that I don't care. And throughout Scripture, God is saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. I've not forgotten about you. I'm coming. What an amazing picture of the Father. How could you turn away from that? And if you did turn away from that, do you really think that you deserve forgiveness? My answer would be no. If I stood before the Father on Judgment Day and He says, you turned away from me, I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't. And so, Jesus said, Jesus was told all authority was given to Him. He judges the world. And as much as He loved the Father, He's not going to let anybody, who sees the glory of God and turns away, He's not going to let anybody come to the Father in that manner. And so He says, you've got to come to me. You've got to come to me. And that's what the day of Pentecost, is that what they said when He told them that they had crucified the Lord? He wanted them to know that they had killed the Son of God. And for the ones that it mattered to, the Bible said, they were cut to the heart, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, so that you may receive the presence of His indwelling Holy Spirit. And He told them that this was a promise to them, to those that were to their children, and to those that were far off, which was the Jews, the following generation of the Jews, and even into the Gentile world. I don't see any other plan of salvation. And Jesus said that if you're going to come to my Father, Because the end kingdom, Jesus said that he lays his kingdom at the Father's feet at the end. If you're coming into my kingdom, it's because you're going to see the Father. He says, you want to follow me, then you keep your eyes on that Father. I've told you about him. I've shown him. How did the devil see all of that and turn away? It's a lot of hate right there. It's a lot of pride. I don't have the answer to that one. How he saw it and he turned away. But he did. We don't want to find ourselves in that position, knowing all that we know, seeing all that we see, and understanding all that we understand, and then just turn away. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?